This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod, The Vatican Assassin Trilogy, and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma, and I have Chapter 12 of Vatican Abdicator on this episode. Humankind's interstellar battles for survival continue, led by B.C. Bernard Campion, former Pope and our former Vatican assassin. B.C. and his UTZ, Universal Trade Zone, forces just ran the powerful human-looking alien Dolomei and his ships off of Mars. But they also get some sad news. The former leader of the UIN, Al-Salid, is dead. And there is a new caliph leading the UIN. He is quick to recognize BC as the de facto ruler of Mars, however, as the other threat that humanity faces, the Eldred, had threatened to destroy the human population on Mars until BC personally intervened. There were some positive developments. BC seemed to be able to block the mentally powerful alien Dolomei from his mind. Stopped an attack. And people seemed to be responding to BC's idea of a war council as he prepares to convene it on the moon at Lunar Prime. That's where we'll rejoin the action as we get into Chapter 12 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder that you can get the Vatican Assassin audiobook for free. I've put that out there because I want to try to encourage new listeners, new readers, to check out Vatican Assassin. So if there's somebody you know who might be into this series and hasn't checked it out yet, please tell them that they can download the audiobook of Vatican Assassin everywhere except Audible for free. And I'm sorry, but Audible doesn't do free stuff for independent people for some reason. Well, the reason is I don't give them exclusive distribution. I like to distribute my audiobooks in other places. So without that, Amazon won't give me the ability to do promotions. Very nice. So yes, you can get it free. That's the Vatican Assassin Special Edition, 15th Anniversary Edition, Vatican Assassin audiobook. Free everywhere except Audible for a limited time, next month or two. A big thank you to patrons. If you're a patron, you are helping me make this all happen. You help me pay my bills and keep the websites up and keep the podcast running. So thank you. It's huge. If you want to be a part of that and help me keep this all going, you can do it for $2, $5, or $10 a month through Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to my sites, mikeluoma.com or glowinthedarkradio.com, and follow the link to Patreon for patrons and get more details or even maybe become a patron. That'd be awesome. We're going to get into Chapter 12 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm JC. My co-host Cindy and I host the Fix It Home Improvement Podcast. We cover projects that every homeowner should know and top-rated products for home and garden. And for fans of Mike, we keep you posted on new smart home systems and products like robot vacuums and robot lawnmowers that seemed like science fiction not too long ago. You can check it out on your favorite podcast app. It's Fix It, F-I-X-I-T, Home Improvement.
Now here's Chapter 12 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio.
BC and the remaining UTZ and project ships return to the moon. Governor Erskine meets BC at the Lunar Prime port. "Was it Dolome?" she asks. "It was. We beat him up pretty good."
"Good news, then, I guess," the governor says to BC. "Too bad you couldn't go 5 for 5.
"We tried, believe me. We did manage to talk to Mars's new caliph. I invited him to meet with us in our war council."
"That I knew," she tells him. "The caliph of the Universal Islamic Nation just called ahead to arrange for lodgings during his upcoming visit. He'll be here tomorrow."
"Good," BC says, smiling. "Can you set up a place we can meet?"
"Will do."
"Could your people call him the Pope? Let him know we're meeting?"
Erskine gives BC a "don't push it" look, but then says, "Sure, we'll call him. Go ahead, get some rest."
Governor Erskine leaves BC to find his way to his lodgings to rest his weary bones after a busy 36-hour day. Her call is his wake-up call the next morning.
"Did I wake you?" she asks.
"Don't worry about it. What is it?"
"The caliph has arrived."
"He's ready and waiting to talk to you, BC."
"Excellent," BC responds.
"Did you set us up a meeting room somewhere?" he asks Erskine.
"Just you and the caliph," she asks.
"I'd like to get the whole war council together, much as we can," he tells her. "Most of what I need to fill the caliph in on, you've all heard before, but I want him to feel like he's part of something bigger, because this is bigger. He needs to know that it's more than just him and me."
"We'll meet in the main hall then," she informs him.
"In 1 hour?"
"Sounds good."
BC, the caliph, Governor Erskine, Anita Capituna, Krish and Dell convene their conference in the main hall of Lunar Prime, scene of many past conferences and failed attempts at reconciling the disparate members of the human race.
"Of course, I played a part in helping those proceedings fail, at least once. Makes me wonder where we'd all be if I'd never assassinated Meredith McIntyre."
BC smiles at the caliph across the table from him as he reflects upon his own guilt in delaying the peace process.
"So," the caliph begins, "this Dolome, he is not human, you say?"
"Dolome is an alien, no matter what he looks like," BC tells the caliph.
"No matter what he said while he was among your people.
Dolome has no concept of brotherhood, camaraderie, religion." BC searches for the right words. "He looks like us, but he is truly alien, without empathy. His people were sociopathic. No capacity to love, no ability to see the greater good, the larger whole, no insight beyond the obvious."
"Ha," the caliph responds, taking it all in. "Then, how does he get people to follow him? I have seen it firsthand. People follow him like slaves."
"Let's see if the caliph is open-minded enough to take this in.
Dolome uses his mind to warp their wills. I would guess that's why he made you feel unclean, caliph. That is what I meant by powers and abilities beyond our own. He's a very powerful telepath. He can twist the minds of men, so they'll follow him, so they'll love his violence without limits. He takes men back to their animal selves, encourages that animal abandon. He makes them love him, though he has no love for them." BC laughs an ironic laugh. "He would kill any of his followers in an instant, or allow them to be sacrificed if it was to his gain, or guaranteed his own safety or satisfaction. Yet they still follow him, a brutal bunch of animal humanity." The caliph steeples his hands in front of his face as he listens and thinks.
"No capacity for love," he repeats after a time. "This makes him very dangerous, does it not?"
"Yes, it does," BC agrees. "He doesn't seem to feel any connection to his fellow beings."
"This young caliph is a bit sharper than Al-Salid."
"Dolome is an interstellar sociopath, as so many of his kind supposedly were," BC tells him.
"His kind?"
the caliph asks. BC tells the caliph of the ancient enemy. He fills the UIN leader in on all the knowledge BC has of the Eldred, the Flays and Domo, and the ancient enemy. The caliph closes his eyes and shakes his head as BC finishes.
"How do we fight one so ruthless?"
the caliph asks, wondering aloud. "Is that just a rhetorical question?" BC asks him with a challenge in his voice. The caliph is taken aback at first, but then he smiles.
"So,
The question does not need to be rhetorical, he asks with deep interest.
I don't think it does, BC says. We can stop him and his followers if we work together, if we are willing to bring ourselves together as a united force.
Mbeke, having been summoned up from Earth by BC, enters the conference room.
Mbeke, BC begins as he stands to greet the new arrival. He corrects himself. Your Holiness, John Paul IV, welcome. Your timing is impeccable.
Why, thank you, BC, Mbeke answers as he shakes BC's extended hand. I cannot stay long, but they told me you said this was important, so here I am.
Mbeke looks around the table, a brief expression of surprise crossing his face when he reaches the caliph.
May I present the new religious leader of the UIN, His Holiness the Caliph?
BC introduces the two men.
John Paul, tell me,
can the new Catholic Church coexist peacefully with Islam?
I believe we can,
Mbeke says cautiously.
Can Islam coexist peacefully with the new Catholic Church?
BC asks the Caliph.
Again, the Caliph steeples his fingers in front of his face as he loses himself in thought. He doesn't immediately answer.
Mbeke sits down at the table.
Caliph, BC prods him.
The Prophet spoke of the other people of the book, the Caliph says. Speaking of both Christians and Jews, it is sometimes forgotten that the Prophet spoke of the other people of the book as worthy of our love and respect,
he says slowly, deliberately, carefully weighing his words before he speaks.
I do not believe that our differences are as great as we would make them.
The Caliph brings his hands down from his face, laying them palms down on the table.
It is a lesson learned at a very high price, he says somberly. And yet, until the other aliens arrived, until your recent press conference, you told the people on Earth that Dolomei is UIN.
Why?
This makes your people hate my people.
Well, BC begins, thinking frantically on his feet as he tries to answer the Caliph diplomatically.
He was UIN. We didn't tell our people anything. We have not labeled him UIN.
Your media does,
the Caliph corrects him.
Indeed they do, BC admits. But not because we tell them to. They report what they see. We haven't tried to make him out to be UIN. He was UIN. I'm not sure that they believe us when we tell them that Dolomei is an alien, the ancient enemy returned. But I have tried to make that clear, even during the press conference with the Domo and the Flays you mentioned earlier. Did you not hear?
Yes. Although some news reports continue to label him UIN,
the Caliph contends again.
You're working with us. We'll stop that,
Anita interjects. The Caliph looks at her strangely, but he nods.
No matter now. We can no longer afford to be enemies. We no longer have that luxury, the Caliph agrees.
You're right. We don't have the luxury of fighting amongst ourselves, BC says. Not anymore, because not only do we face Dolomei, we also face the Eldred. They've been responsible for the plague and more attacks.
The Caliph waves away the mention of the Eldred.
Of course, we know of the Eldred, the Kaliknaga, Ibn al-Dolomei called them. They have attacked Mars repeatedly.
You can thank Dolomei for that, BC says, but just as he tries to keep humanity divided, we can try to help unite humanity. Bring us all together, no matter what we look like or what we believe.
You are an optimist, Bernard Campion,
the Caliph says to him.
I'm a realist, BC disagrees. The only realistic hope we have of defeating our enemies lies in a united human race.
BC has a brainstorm. Another crazy idea occurs to him.
Well, this should make Mbeke's trip up here worthwhile.
I want to propose something radical, he tells the two holy men. Mbeke has been listening and taking it all in. He looks intently at BC. The Caliph glances from BC to the Pope and then back to BC.
BC, I know you too well.
Mbeke, Pope John Paul IV, says with some humor.
What are you thinking? How united do you think humanity need be? What is it that you have in mind?
Mbeke can tell that I'm looking for more. Well, here goes nothing.
Yes,
the Caliph says.
What is the question you are not yet asking?
Well, BC starts, but he pauses before he continues, unsure of how to say what he wants to say, and unsure of the receptiveness of his audience.
What I'm about to propose is so radical that you two may shoot me down immediately.
Go on,
Mbeke encourages him.
Yes, please, go on, the Caliph agrees. Could we? Can we possibly unify our religions? Unite Christianity and Islam?
Mbeki and the Caliph are struck dumb by BC's bold idea. Both stare back at BC in silence.
I did not see that coming, Krish chimes in.
What? What are you thinking, BC? Did you call me up here under false pretenses?
Mbeki challenges him.
This is not what I expected either, the Caliph says as he shakes his head.
I know, it just occurred to me, but hear me out, BC tells them. We, all of us here, are the leaders of our people, as scary as that prospect might be.
Yes, it is scary that we are being led by a madman,
Mbeki says in disbelief.
Our numbers have dwindled since the plague, and the attacks on Mars, BC says. Shouldn't it be easier to find some common ground?
When the number of followers drops in any religion, the remaining believers tend to grow more extreme, not more open, the Caliph observes. I do not think your logic holds, he tells BC.
But can't we just start with the fact that you believe in the same God? You do, don't you? I mean, Allah, Yahweh, Jehovah, it's the same God under different names, isn't it?
BC asks them.
Neither Mbeki nor the Caliph, answers BC. Each shifts uneasily in his seat, hoping the other comments first. BC decides to plow ahead on this sudden brainstorm.
Why can't we put it out there? He asks.
Allah is the Christian God, as Yahweh is the Jewish God, and vice versa. Jesus and Muhammad were both gifted teachers of God.
BC leaves the thought hanging open.
Perhaps something along these lines could be done. But we should not go too far,
the Caliph cautions.
Oh, I don't know,
Mbeki says cautiously, acting every inch as Pope John Paul IV.
Islam does not recognize the Trinity. Jesus is no part of Allah, but he is a third of our God.
Ah, the Caliph says. He leans back in his chair and steeples his fingers in front of his face, but his sneer is still evident.
There it is, the simple arrogance of the Christians.
What made me think this was going to work? How far are they willing to go?
Gentlemen, BC interrupts before Mbeki can answer. Could I back this up, please? There's got to be some common ground here, has to be. Caliph, if Muhammad taught respect for the people of the book, then isn't Allah Yahweh?
Some teachers say yes, some no. Others are unsure.
And Mbeki, Yahweh is the God of Jesus Christ, isn't he?
Huh? Why, of course he is, BC.
Mbeki answers. He grows cautious.
Why do you ask?
The Jews who believe in Yahweh do not believe that Jesus is a part of him, one-third of God, either, do they?
No, of course not.
And you have no quarrel with the Jews, correct? Their God is your God.
Yes, Mbeki nods. I see your point. But that does not mean this will be an easy thing. The NCC itself is still very young. People don't like their religion to keep changing on them. Makes them very grumpy.
Quite a concession, the Caliph comments. Much nicer than the evangelicals who used to accuse us of worshipping Jubal the moon god.
See? BC says hopefully. We're getting somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Mbeki agrees tentatively.
But where are we going? The Caliph challenges BC.
How about this? BC continues. We put out a new holy book, a joint religious book made up of parts of the Bible, the Quran, and other writings.
No way! You are crazy!
Mbeki protests immediately.
Out of the question,
the Caliph says simultaneously.
Wait, BC stops them. Hear me out. This isn't a book to replace anyone's holy book. What I'm proposing is a book in addition to those you already hold sacred. A book we could give to alien races when they ask us, what do you humans believe? A book welcome in every church, synagogue, temple, mosque, approved by every faith as an expression of what we as humans believe.
That's still a very tall order, Mbeki tells him. What would you put in it?
Yes, what parts of the Quran would you include?
The Caliph asks pointedly. BC smiles. I have no idea.
What?
I'm certainly not qualified to decide, BC says, and he laughs. Let your theologians duke it out. Give them something to keep them busy. Get them talking to each other instead of labeling each other monsters.
The two men shake their heads.
Maybe it can't be done, BC admits, but we should at least set the process in motion as a grand gesture of reconciliation.
The Caliph and Mbeki stare at BC in disbelief.
You are truly insane, BC,
Mbeke says.
I don't know, the Caliph says, still thinking about BC's proposal.
Why not try to create a new world for humankind? This could be a path to peaceful coexistence.
But,
the Caliph begins to speak, but stops himself.
I really don't think we can do this, BC, Mbeke says, in all seriousness.
Mbeke, even if we can't, we still have to try, don't we? Caliph?
Yes.
Are you willing to try? He pauses a moment and then speaks.
I am.
Really? Great! So then, Mbeke, Pope John Paul, why not? Let's at least give it a try.
We'll see. I'll see if I can set the wheels in motion, Mbeke answers.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement, but I'll take it, BC says. It's better than a no. Can I make an announcement? Some kind of public statement?
Well, I don't know about that,
Mbeke begins protesting.
Yes,
the Caliph says. Great, I'll take that as two yeses, BC says.
I didn't,
Mbeke starts but then stops. He gives in.
Okay, go ahead. Make your statement. I'll make sure we send representatives, theologians, whatever, to whatever discussions you call for.
Thank you, Mbeke. This is a groundbreaking moment, gentlemen.
Indeed, the Caliph says. He rises to his feet and extends his hand to shake BC's.
BC shakes the Caliph's hand. He looks over at Mbeke hopefully. Mbeke glares back briefly, but then smiles and stands, extending his hand to BC.
BC then steps back, giving the other two men the opportunity to shake each other's hands. After the briefest hesitation and a glance at the rest of the War Council looking on in anticipation, the Caliph of the UIN and Pope John Paul IV of the NCC shake hands.
Hold on a second, BC asks the other two. Krish, can you make sure we get footage of this?
The scientist pulls out a recording cube and places it on the tabletop.
Okay, cameras are recording, now!
Smile, gentlemen, smile,
BC says past a grin of his own. He stands behind and between the two others, one hand on the shoulder of each man, over their shaking hands.
Never underestimate the power of a good photo op.
That's enough, Krish.
They're off,
the scientist says cheerfully. BC turns to the Pope.
Mbeke, now we'll discuss some matters of state. I promise, I did call you up here as a member of our war council.
Thank you, BC.
Let's talk about Mars.
The Caliph turns to BC.
What are these matters of state we need to discuss?
He doesn't let BC answer, but instead continues on.
As I stated before, I recognize you as the civil authority in charge of Mars, and you recognize me as the spiritual leader of the Universal Islamic Nation, our UIN. We are in agreement, are we not?
We are in agreement. Are you willing to sign documents to that effect? Let's put it in writing. Put it out there. Show everyone humanity is united. Why not?
He tries persuading the Caliph.
Fine. Draw them up, and I will read them, and sign them as warranted.
Great! BC is elated,
but doubt creeps quickly back in, and he grows more cautious.
Why are you being so agreeable? He asks the Caliph.
What choice do I have? We have few ships left thanks to the attacks by the Eldred and Donlame, and few people left thanks to the plague. The few meager supplies we receive come from you and the UTZ. I can offer my people religious instruction and hope through the Prophet, from Allah, may he always be praised. But I cannot pretend we can fight you any longer. We've gained nothing by fighting. And so we follow your leadership, he says, looking down at the tabletop.
He looks back up, looks BC in the eye.
But we will not change who we are. Islam will not change for you, Bernard Campion. We will cooperate, but we will not compromise who we are inside. Know this, even as we cooperate on your new book.
I don't ask you to change who you are inside, BC insists. I don't question your spiritual leadership, Caliph. That's between you and the people of your faith. The book I propose will be what you will it to be, not what I want. It may not even come into being if we can't all agree on what's in it. But we'll see, huh? It's an exercise in trying to get along, in tolerance instead of intolerance. BC smirks. Get it? Intolerance and tolerance?
Ugh, I can't believe you're cracking a joke, Anita groans.
Krish snickers. Del remains silent, as does Governor Erskine, and Mbeke tries to hide a grin.
Just trying to lighten the mood a little, BC says defensively, looking around the table. The Caliph is actually smiling.
No, that is fine.
I like good wordplay, the caliph says. His smile grows almost mischievous. And even bad wordplay like that makes me smile.
BC grins.
He has a sense of humor. There's hope.
I'll take what I can get, BC says, meaning it on many levels.
Indeed, the caliph answers, his smile replaced by a knowing look as he ponders the many meanings. All is submission to the will of Allah, he says after a pause. You seem to have his favor at the moment.
You think so? BC asks. I hope so.
I pray it is so, the caliph says. Otherwise, all is lost. Allah be praised.
Indeed, Allah be praised, BC agrees. The caliph raises an eyebrow, but nods in appreciation of BC's declaration. Then he leans in towards BC and speaks conspiratorially, almost whispering, I hope you can do this. I hope we can all pull together and win. But I have serious doubts. And these aliens are all ruthless. Do you really think we can beat them?
I'll level with you. I don't know, BC answers in a slightly louder voice. But we're working on it. The project scientists, he gestures over at Anita, Krish, and Dell, have been dissecting a captured Eldritch ship. We're learning more about them every day. We've found that they may be technically more advanced than us in some ways, but they have no imagination. That gives us an edge. The Eldritch, like Dolomei, don't have religion. They don't seem to know love. I think these things give us power, as long as we use them for our own good, to unite us instead of to divide us. We have the power of love. We have the power of Allah. And we have the gift of imagination we can draw from. These give me hope.
I hope you are right, the caliph says, nodding, though I sense you are indulging in hyperbole.
What is truth? BC asks.
Pontius Pilate, the caliph responds. I'm not sure he's a good model for you to be quoting.
He laughs. You know Christian scripture? BC asks, surprised.
Don't look so surprised. I am a student of many religions, the caliph informs him.
BC smiles.
What? The caliph asks.
What could be better than a student of many religions helping to shape a book reflecting all of them? BC asks rhetorically. Perhaps you are the right person in the right place and at the right time.
That is funny, the caliph says, rising from the table. I was hoping the same was true of you, he tells BC.
BC stands up as he sees the caliph is preparing to leave. Caliph, when can we sign the documents?
Prepare them and then contact me.
We should sign them on Mars, I should think.
I think you're right, BC agrees. So, I'll see you there soon?
Soon. Bring your cameras.
I'm sure you'll want footage for the news, the caliph says with a minor hint of disdain in his voice. Until then, good day.
He nods a brief bow, turns, and leaves. BC sits back down and smiles. That went better than I could have hoped, he says to those still at the table, Erskine, Anita, Mbeke, Krish, and Dell. Mbeke stands up to leave.
I must attend to matters back on Earth, back at Vatican City, he tells them. And soon I'll have a whole new batch of problems to attend to, thanks to your crazy ideas, BC. A new holy book. This will not go over well.
He smiles at BC despite his words.
I thank you all. I am sure we'll meet again soon, and you can all call me at the Vatican at any time. Thank you, he says.
He gives BC a small nod, turns, and leaves the meeting room. BC looks back from the door.
The new caliph seems almost reasonable, Anita says with a hint of surprise in her voice.
I thought he would be the tough one. I was surprised Mbeke was so resistant, BC admits. The curia must be getting to him. Erskine gets up from the table.
This has all been fascinating. Can't wait to see if this goes anywhere. What mankind hasn't been able to do for 1500 or so years, you think you've pulled off in a matter of hours? We'll see. But I've got a moon to run, so if you'll excuse me.
Certainly, Governor, BC tells her. Thank you for attending.
Keep me in the loop, huh?
Of course, BC assures her. He watches her leave.
Huh. What about the moon? Independent? Like Erskine. Should probably stay that way. Allied, but independent. Erskine is stable, wants the best for her people. We can probably count on her. Our love and our imagination, our greatest weapons? So then, are we doomed or what?
Were you just staring at her ass? Anita asks BC.
Jeesh, speaking of imagination.
What? What kind of question was that?
I was thinking about her, I mean the moon, you know, as an ally.
While you were staring at her ass, Krish interjects unhelpfully.
I was staring off into space, BC protests. Yeah, the space where her ass was, Anita says. Suddenly she snorts and breaks out laughing. I'm sorry, I was just trying to, you know, lighten the mood a little.
Joking? Now you're mocking me? This council has really degenerated here. I get no respect,
BC protests.
I suggest you adjourn the meeting while you still cling to even a thread of respect, Del offers.
Meeting adjourned, BC says, louder than he needs to.
Well done, Del says dryly, a hint of a smirk on his long face.
Enough meetings, Krish exclaims. Let's get back to ripping that ship apart.
Krish and Del take off to get back to work on the Eldred ship. BC and Anita are left alone in the cavernous conference hall.
I wasn't looking at her ass, BC insists again.
What? Do you think I'm jealous or something? Anita says. BC hears a little nervous tremble in her voice.
Maybe, I don't know.
He shakes his head.
Don't flatter yourself, she says with a smirk.
BC walks around the table to stand next to Anita.
What?
She says, playing ignorant.
Just thinking about our greatest weapons, he tells her.
Imagination and lo-
Shh,
she says, closing the distance between them and holding a finger up to his lips. She looks around, then back at BC. She lets her finger drop as she leans in to kiss him.
Don't say the L word just now, she says, as BC kisses her back.
Okay, I won't say it. But what else should I call it? They lose themselves for a few minutes, but finally separate. BC looks at Anita, smiling.
What?
She says.
Nothing,
BC answers. I just can't stop smiling. Permagrin. Hey, you're smiling too.
I am?
She asks, and she tries to stop. She can't. She tries to look serious, but a grin cracks out across her face.
Why not allow ourselves a little happiness?
BC asks her.
We don't have to be serious all the time.
I feel like I do, Anita says. I was always the serious little girl. She looks down at the floor. This time her smile does drop.
BC reaches over to gently lift her face up.
Hey, he says to her softly.
There will be plenty of time to be serious later.
He leans in and they kiss again.
Come back to my rooms?
He asks her, when they break apart again.
Yeah,
she says quietly. She grabs hold of his hand and squeezes it tight. They walk out of the hall and back to BC's rooms, together.
That was Chapter 12 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC trying to pull together the different strands of human interests, but his idea of uniting Islam and Christianity may be a bit of an overreach. We'll see. It's an interesting idea, but yeah. At least he's trying, and he's got them working together, which I think was the point, maybe. And BC and Anita finally hook up. Woo! There is love and hope in the universe, at least for now. We'll see if it continues in our next episode, with lucky chapter 13 of Vatican Abdicator coming up. It's on the way. A reminder that the Vatican Assassin audiobook, the 15th anniversary edition, special edition, with special voice cameos, is available for free everywhere except Audible. So wherever you get your audiobooks except Audible, you can get Vatican Assassin for free. And let people know. Please tell people who may be into it but haven't heard it that they can get it for free and check it out. And again, a big thank you to patrons who help keep this all going. And if you want to learn more or become a patron yourself, just go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio or go to my sites and follow the link to Patreon. That is all for this week. I'm your host, your writer, and your reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.
Glow in the Dark Radio. 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 Radio.
This podcast presentation is copyright 2023 by Michael F. Luoma.
and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives, 4.0 International License, CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Incompetech.com. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.